Okay, everyone, welcome to Dad Space, you know, the podcast for dads by dads. Today I have a great guest on the show. William Hemphill's on. His website is faithandfamilyempowerment.com, and his podcast is Faith and Family Matters, and it does matter. And so glad to have William on the podcast today. William, welcome to Dad Space. So glad to have you here. It's great to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. And it's the Faith and Family Matters podcast. And my company is Faith and Family Empowerment.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So tell me more about your podcast. How long have you had the show?
So I've done the podcast, I would say, a little over 2 years, kind of started in COVID. And really, the original idea was me and my wife were actually going to just do some things to talk about relationships, which I think we have one episode on there. But she kind of was like, yeah, it's not always her thing to do. Plus, she's busy doing a lot of other stuff. And so, you know, I just kept on going, and I would talk about matters with faith, matters with marriage and relationships. And then sometimes I'll get into different things, talking about adoption, different things and stuff like that, because I am an adopted father. And really the idea is just to see how, I would like to say, using faith in many ways to have a more caring world. Faith and love and caring and how that can influence our lives. And so that's kind of the idea behind it, you know, always the family piece, because I am a family man, being married 29 plus years and 3 children and a grandchild now. So I'm a grandfather. So
William, you basically have the exact same setup that I have. 3 children. I'm a new grandfather myself. I've been married 30 years, you're 29. So we're like, almost like twins. Okay, so I could be your stunt double, okay?
There you go.
What do you think? I love it. Okay, so I told you before we had record, William, based on your podcast, your amazing website, everything you do, I'm going to try something a little different on the show. I'm giving you the keys to the podcast. I'm going to hop into the passenger seat where normally I ask questions of my guests, and that's the typical way of doing this. There's a lot of stuff that you're building out in content world, you're thinking about, you're dreaming about, you're talking about. I kind of want to let you have free reign here and lead us down a path that would benefit the dads that are listening and the 65% of my audience that are female, which I love, on here on Dad Space. I would love for you to kind of take us on a little journey around some of the things you're thinking about right now, you're working on, that could benefit this audience, to kind of see where you want to take us today in our conversation. You're good for that?
Yeah, that works, man. That works, Dave.
All right, let's do this. Okay, it's your podcast. So, William, welcome to the show. Here we go.
Well, I appreciate that. It's kind of interesting, as you asked me that, I think one of the things that popped in my mind, we talked a little bit about being an adoptive father. I was actually teaching part of a seminar for TAC, training for adoption competent therapists. And we were actually talking about stuck spots for adoptive teens. And it kind of resonated with me even as we're talking about that, because my children, they are grown-ish, as I like to say. Well, actually, they may be grown now, because one of them has a... I'm a grandfather, so one of them has a child, so he's grown, you know. he's got his fiance, and, you know, their 2 children and stuff like that. My other 25-year-old twin, he actually has just moved back with me to finish school. And then my 22-year-old daughter, she is living away from us, but I'm excited because we'll actually see her this weekend, because she's coming back in to help us out with the marriage seminar. And so I'm not worried about the marriage seminar. I get to see my daughter. Everything else. That's not quite true, but I'm very excited to see my daughter.
No. Yeah.
So, but they were talking about these 6 stuck spots. And I thought about them a little bit in my own children's life, but then also something that I think is good for anybody who's thinking about adopting children. And so they said that these 6 stuck spots that normally happen when kids, if they're adopted from the foster care system from overseas or something like that, are reasons for adoption, missing and difficult information, difference, identity, loyalty, and permanence. And so I'll just probably talk a little bit quickly about those.
Yeah.
And so, like, reason for adoption. In my case, my children knew why they were adopted. They were old enough to know that they had, you know, that, as we like to say in adoption circles, their mother made a plan. In other words, she was unable to do the things necessarily care for them. They went into the system. And so they actually know why they're adopted. But there are a lot of children who don't know that. If your child is adopted as a baby, if they're adopted from overseas or someplace else, they often don't know why they're adopted. And I think one of the things that can actually get people stuck is when they try to mask the fact that their child is adopted. And so I actually think about when I was at AGPA, American Group Psychotherapy Association, and I taught a seminar on secondary stress and adoptive parents. There was a young lady there who was still processing a lot of her pain because her parents didn't want to tell her she was adopted. You know, they dress them all in the same clothes. They will have them look different ways. And they try to present the world that, hey, these are our natural birth children. Well, the truth is, we do a disservice to people when we do that. We do a disservice to our children. But then here's the other thing. Sooner or later, they're going to find out anyway. Dave, I don't know. Do you have cousins, man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you know how family situations end up and people start messing and joking with each other.
Yeah.
And right. So something like that could easily bring out the fact of adoption. I mean, I've worked with people who found out at funerals that they were adopted. I don't know, you know, things like that. Wow. I don't know if you know about the gospel singer Kirk Franklin. I think it's My Father's Diary or something like that. This is his latest album. But he talks about the fact that he only met his birth father because he had gone to a funeral. Or either that, no, a friend of his had gone to a funeral. And whoever this person died, they started having some conversations. And this person that Kirk Franklin knew, they had a conversation with them and said, you know, so-and-so might be his father. And of course, he went to pursue it and different things like that. And he talked about the challenges of that because he found out that his father only lived a few blocks from him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, wow. Yeah. So I bring that just to know the impact of it, because these stories, children are going to want to know why they're adopted. And then if they don't know why they're adopted at some point, I like to say, for lack of a better term, one of our tough reactions sometimes is mind reading. You know, we like to fill in the details. And there are times when people fill in the details with things that aren't true, that aren't helpful to them.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah. So that was one of the things that stuck out, was reasons for adoption, allowing our kids to know that. So.
Good. I love that. I think that's when kids are struggling with a sense of identity, if they know a little bit more of their story, that'll help in that identity stage as well.
Yeah.
And then maybe even an appreciation of the family as well, to understand how this all happened and how they ended up in that home. That's another part of their story they need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important because the one piece is talking about identity.
Yeah.
We're always in a search for identity. I mean, and so adoptive kids, even more so, are in a search for identity. Just because you want to know who you are. You might have something, and I'm just integrating all these points as we're talking, like difference. Maybe you have a transcultural or transracial adoption.
Right.
You know, the child knows that, wait a moment, I look a little different from you.
Yeah.
I don't speak the same language. I don't like the same foods. They know something is different.
Right.
And so because of that difference needs to be explained and understood and acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of one of the, I call it great misservices is when someone adopts one and says, well, hey, we don't see race or culture. Well, people come from different cultures,
right?
Different backgrounds. And what you're almost saying is that you're not acknowledging the uniqueness in who God made them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so that is one of those areas that teenagers can get stuck. And you think about it, this is the time when they're forming their identity and understanding each other more. They're going to want to know, hey, why do I look different from you? Why do I like some things that you don't like? Why am I not like everybody in my neighborhood? Different things. We were talking about a case the other day where there had been an Anglo family that had adopted a child of African American descent. They kept them in an Anglo community. And when he finally saw somebody that was African American, he gravitated toward them. And all of a sudden, you know, mama was worried because he's hanging out in this area with people I don't know. And so the therapist had to do some work with him to help her understand, hey, he's trying to connect with people of his own cultural background.
Right. That's super important in that identity piece as well.
Yeah. Those identity pieces, those differing pieces are very important. I like to say, you know, missing and difficult information. Depending on where a child comes from, there's going to be more information that's missing. Like if you've adopted someone from overseas and maybe they had come from an orphanage or something like that.
Right.
There's a lot of information you're just not going to get.
Yeah.
Well, you can't find because records may have not been kept well or different things like that. But still, it's important to at least try to acknowledge that. One of the things I did like about my children being a little older, it kind of curbed the temptation to try to put a story on it. like to say it was a chance to say, hey, just tell you the truth about what's going on. You know, so they asked me and said, well, tell me about my mother. Or tell me about my father. I said, this is what I know. And I let them know what I knew.
Yeah.
And some things they knew and some things they didn't know. And so, but that piece is important because, you know, we're all trying to understand identity. And I like to say one of the things that's important in blending families, period, whether it's adoption, step families, different things like that, is that a person can get a chance to acknowledge their identity and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to say my children are my children, but they are also their birth parents' children.
Right. Yeah. That's, again, it goes right back to identity. I love how all this cycles back.
Yeah.
Right. To helping your child. And the other thing, too, I know, like my mother-in-law is adopted. I have several people in our family that have been through the adoption process. There's also that unknown about like sitting down with your family doctor and explaining your medical history.
Yes.
And what you don't know about who you are and your family background.
Yeah.
You know, we have no idea.
Right? And those things we might take for granted. It's like, okay, when you fill out that form, it's like, is your mother alive? Is your father alive? Some people don't know that. Did your mother have this disease? Did your father have this? Lots of people don't know that. Some people don't know your siblings. They don't know how many siblings they have.
Yeah.
You know, my kids, I don't think knew how many siblings they had to my younger daughter's graduation when one of her birth father's sisters came. And so she came to the graduation, you know. Well, this is talk about fun dynamics. She came to graduation, was invited by her brother, but didn't tell my daughter. One of the brothers. So that was a dynamic to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
But then, of course, you know, we got to know the sister and she was pretty cool. Got to know one brother. But, you know, they had several other siblings.
Yeah.
They didn't know. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just complex, you know.
Yeah.
And I like to say things that we take for granted, they can't take for granted. Because there's so many missing pieces in that search for identity and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the other piece that we might have there, just as I'm thinking off, permanence is important. Now, one of the things I knew when me and my wife were going to adopt, I said, I didn't want to be a foster care home.
Right.
Because I knew that I would get attached.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
You can have them for a short period of time and then not be connected with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's something about your heart in that process as well.
I just knew that. We knew that about ourselves. And so that was our intention going in to adopt. And so part of what's important for that is establishing a place of permanency and a place you can call home. So, you know, hey, there's some place we can come back to now that my children are grown. You know, my daughter's coming back this week. My oldest son is here. There's some place we can come back to. There's some place we can visit. There's a sense of belonging and stability that can come from that. That is necessary, especially if you've had people that come from backgrounds with, you could say, abuse, neglect, lack of permanency, whatever else. And so those are just some pieces I just thought about as you were saying here. And I said, I just wanted to share with people so they can know that and understand the importance of that.
It's amazing, William. I love this. For adoptive parents out there who maybe are, their kids are getting older and they're starting to ask these kinds of questions, more adult questions about their adoption and their, and that process. Any difficult conversations that you've heard shared with adopted children in the home and maybe how parents can navigate some of those difficult questions that come up from the kids to the parents? Have you heard any examples that we can share and how to address those kind of really important and difficult possible questions the kids might have for us?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of two things. So one, I'm thinking of my own experience. Not that this was a difficult conversation, but it was an interesting conversation. Because I have three children, they all kind of viewed their birth family background differently. And so navigating that while respecting the differences in them was important. You know, the oldest twin, you know, he's probably fine if he doesn't really, you know, talk to anybody. The younger twin, I would call him the connector. I joked, I said, if he had his perfect world, he'd have all of us and have all his birth family, and we would all be in one house doing everything else and stuff like that. And then my daughter was kind of in between. So they had three different reactions, but trying to get them to at least respect each other's point of view and respect each other's space. That was the big challenge for me in that with them, because they came from three different points. And, you know, three different people, different experiences that have different points. And so that was my thing of trying to navigate with them on that. I think the best thing I've still found that has worked the best from what I've heard is just being honest and truthful the best way that you can be. You know, not masking it, you know.
Yeah.
I laugh because it's not like we tell everybody we have children that are adopted. And it's kind of funny. We have jokes about it sometimes, you know. Like people would ask us, you know, sometimes they'd ask us. And I remember, I think my youngest twin, he was in fourth grade. And we're walking, different things like that. And, you know, my children are mixed race. It's kind of funny. I like to call the twins the odd couple, Felix and Oscar, literally more ways than one. You know, one is lighter skin, one is brown skin, one is neat as he can be, one is messy Marvin. One likes sports, one wouldn't want anything to do with sports. They're Felix and Oscar, literally.
Yeah.
So they're different. But I'm walking with the younger twin, who's lighter skin than me and different things like that. And I think, you know, some kid was asking her dad, she said, how's that your dad? And it's funny, me and him, sometimes we decide we're going to explain something to people, but then some days we aren't. We kind of looked at each other, we laughed, we said, don't worry about it. People just kind of laughed and walked out and stuff like that. And we just kind of understood it because, you know, sometimes you explain stuff to people, sometimes you don't, you know?
Yeah.
And what I like about that, and I actually learned this a little later on as I got into training, is like giving children the opportunity to explain their story when they're ready. Yeah. It's also key, or how much they want to explain. And so sometimes my kids told people, sometimes my kids didn't. Sometimes people are shocked when they find out something, you know, it was their decision to talk about whatever they wanted to talk about and how they wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so trying to give them the freedom to be able to do that. So.
How do you, for you and your family and your home, mm-hmm. what are kind of some of the things that you set up to create identity in your home so that your kids from different backgrounds and different places feel like home is central place? You talked about coming back home and making that feel welcoming. When the kids were small, what kind of things did you do as a family group together to solidify your identity as a family?
So I like to say one of the brilliant things that my wife did, and this is my wife, you're not going to get me to do this. She actually, before they came here to our home, and I think this was after the first visit, before they came here for permanency, she had decorated the rooms up, painted it, you know, had my daughter had her own room, so, you know, had her name on the wall. And my sons, they shared a room, you know, had their names on the wall, different names like that. And so I remember when they came in the house and they went upstairs and they saw these rooms and all three of them got real excited and different things and all that and different things like that. So I like to say that was probably one of the things that helped them welcome. Some of the things that we did do, well, I like to say this was formulated, but we didn't actually sort of keep it. It was like, in therapy, we went one time and kind of made like a little family crest or something like that, you know,
nice.
A little family thing that kind of kept us together. But the point of it was that when you pull things together, they get stronger and you try to tear them apart. It's kind of different things like that. And I think that was a powerful symbol. Now, my oldest son actually would refer to that time to time when we would kind of navigate through some things. One of the things I tried to do as a father was I tried to make sure that all of our children had support, family support, for better or worse, because they remind me of this now a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, my younger son played football. And so the other two didn't care for football, but we all went to his football games because part of that was trying to get family support. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I had to do as a parent sometimes is, of course, then when my older son or my daughter had something, the younger son would try not to go. And I'd be like, just like they went to your football games, you're going to be there to support them and different things like that, too.
Right. Yeah.
Because I wanted them to see that family was there to support them as much as possible. And so that was some of the stuff we did. Now, they give me grief now because when they argue with each other, they're like, hey, man, you need to stop. You don't know how many football games we went to see you. We didn't want to. Mom and Dad used to always make us go to these games to see you. Yeah, they, it's funny watching this joke sometimes. I was like, yeah.
So, William, what about parents that want to be adopted parents? They want to have children in the home. Sometimes I hear from couples that the process can be long, can mm-hmm. be very emotional. There's highs and lows that happen while you're in the process of getting all this adoption thing in place. And so again, sometimes it can be a long journey. Sometimes it can be quick, but sometimes it can take years to get all this in place. Can you speak to those parents that are looking and longing for the day where they can write a name on the wall for their new child that's coming into their home? How do we make it through that long process with all the emotions mm-hmm. and come out on the other side? How do we stay positive and stay engaged through that process?
Okay. Yeah, definitely can talk about that. The first thing that comes to mind, especially as a couple, I would say be sure your relationship is strong. And here's what I mean by that. You know, I do a lot of marital relationship work. I would say know your buttons or triggers that you have in your heart. Know what can spin you out. Have some very good conflict resolution skills, because when you invite children into your home, it's going to create more conflict. I tell them, whether you birth them or they come in, you just invite somebody else into your home and they stay with you a while, it's going to create more conflict. But in the case of adoption, because you've had children that in a lot of cases have dealt with trauma and neglect or different things like that, that's going to add to some of the stress. So I would say, first of all, know that. Second of all, you do have to be patient with the process. I like to say, I think ours took like about 2 or 3 years or something like that. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, wait, boom.
Yeah.
And so it was like, during that time, of course, we were taking the learning. I think it was the impact training classes. You know, they have your home studies. It's like the FBI coming to your house. They ask you everything. They look at everything in your house. They ask your neighbors. They do a full background check on you and everything like
that. Good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do all of that. Your home studies. Sometimes you go to continuing training while you're waiting and different things like that. And then there is the matching process, which can take a while. And in our case, that took a while for that to happen. And so it was like, oh, you're going to meet your kids. And so we go meet them at a park. They come over the next week for a day or two. And then the next week, boom, they were there. So it was like long there. Boom, they were there. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'd say definitely you have to be patient in the process as you're doing that. I would say also, learn as much as you can about adoption. Not that you're going to remember all these things till you do that. I think there's a book, Adopting the Hurt Child and Parenting the Hurt Child, were two books that we read beforehand and actually read again afterward. And those two books kind of stand out to my mind because they talk about how to parent children that have come from differing and difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
And so those were two references that helped. I would also say, make sure you have your community of support, whoever that is. I love to say, my mother and my sister-in-laws and my nieces were great support for us. Simply for the fact sometimes, hey, they could babysit. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Hey, mom and dad need a little break. We need to go somewhere. So they could babysit. But then they're just people to understand because they help integrate and bring family into the picture.
Good.
And so, you know, having, you know, my sister-in-laws, my brother-in-law, my brother, you know, when they finally went out to California, met my father out there, different things like that. You're bringing them into family, different things like that. So having support systems. And here might be another support system to add to that. Not just your regular support systems that you need parenting stuff, but then some people who understand adoption. So one couple that, you know, we're pretty much best friends with, they had adopted children. Their children were a little older than ours. And so we could support each other. We could pray for each other.
Yeah.
We could share war stories with each other. We can understand parental expectations and how to navigate things that are different that people don't always understand.
Yeah. That's a good point, to have someone else who's walked the path, maybe just a couple steps ahead of you, that can really kind of surround you and help you and support you in that. I love that. The one thing too I think about as well, William, is for parents that are having biological children, you kind of have that runway of, you know, 8 to 9 months where you know and you can mentally prepare and you have a date when you kind of know when the baby's coming. So you have a runway, you kind of have time to prepare, read, talk as a couple, count down to the day, and the baby arrives.
Yeah.
When you're adopting, you're in the process of finding and going through the process, and then you have instant family.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that, the beauty of that 8 to 9 month runway when you know you're going to be having a baby. Mm. Now you plan, it's more serious. You just instantly have instant family, and you kind of still need that runway of learning how to be a parent.
Mm-hmm. You have instant family, but what you don't have is attachment. You know, I call love attachment because, like, for instance, when a mother has the baby in her womb, in those 9 months, you're still building attachment. You're caring for baby. You're feeding yourself, your baby, getting rest, you know. People are laughing, playing different things like that, talking baby in stomach, baby is hearing.
Yeah.
All those lovely things we do that starts to build that bond even while in the womb.
Right.
And then even as you are, you know, baby is out of the womb, baby learns to cry. You feed baby. You rock the baby. You hold the baby. Change diapers. You do all these different things. All that is helping to build trust and attachment in a world of a child.
Right, 100%.
Yeah. And so when that happens, that allows a child to be more secure even going into the world, secure even going out and back in and different things and stuff like that. But when you start talking about an adoption situation, you don't start with that chance to build a secure attachment.
Right.
And so it takes longer to try to build that. And it's even in some cases, well, it's one reason why permanency is important, but in some cases, even why permanency and stuff comes, there still isn't that attachment because if you've been with someone who's had 3, 5, 10, 12, 15 years of not having attachment, love, and security, that doesn't just go away overnight.
Right. So it's both sides.
Yes.
It's both sides, right? Mm-hmm. The parents trying to connect and build that bond. Mm-hmm. And then the child building the bond with these two strangers they just met. Yeah. And now they're mom and dad.
Yeah.
So there's a back and forth that has to happen. Mm-hmm. So time is of essence there. Don't rush it. Don't push it. Don't make things happen. You need to invest the time to build that solid family base, right?
Yeah, it does take time. And I think that's an important thing. I would say for those who are, let's say, families, you have stepchildren, it takes time for you to become that parental figure to them because they have a parental figure, whether it's good, bad, whatever else, different things like that. It still takes time for you to build parental figure. Same thing happens with adoption. It takes that time to become a parental figure.
Right.
So people understanding that as adoptive parents is going to be so important.
Yeah. That's smart. William, you have brought so much great information, and this is just a taste of what you can get by going over and checking William's podcast and his website and everything he's doing, speaking. There's just on and on and on. I'm on the site as we're chatting, and there's so many great resources here. Your blog, there's books, there's just so much. William, talk us through the website. Talk us through a little bit more, again, about the podcast. Let's promote.
Okay.
I want people to go right from here, right to your show and press play, follow, subscribe, do all that stuff for your show. But talk us through the website and your podcast as we kind of wrap up here today.
Okay, so the website, faithandfamilyempowerment.com, that is my site normally where people can come to me for counseling and therapy. I do a lot of marital work, mostly helping couples navigate conflict, learning how to navigate that better, and increase communication and connection. And so you'll have a lot of resources on there. You'll have blogs talking about things, about what spins you out, what causes conflict, what brings communication, how to build connection. I think we have some things on there, some date ideas for Valentine's Day, different things like that in Atlanta. So we have a couple things. I said, maybe I need to look at my blog and take one of those.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah. Yes. So So we have all of those things because we want to help people just learn how to connect. Because if you can have that relationship strong, I believe it helps the family to be strong.
Good.
You know, I often let my children know that, you know, I said, well, mom and dad have to stay connected. So all this stays together and go well. And they eventually picked it up because now they're like, oh, you two need to go out on a date. Wait a moment, Dave. You're going to laugh at this. You two need to go out on a date. If we come back home too late, who said you could stay out so late?
It's completely changed. Yeah.
They love it. It's your curfew time. it's funny, man. It is absolutely hilarious. But so we have all those things on there, resources. Also have the podcast, but you can also listen to podcasts on, you know, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Faith and Family Matters podcast. We talk about different things dealing with faith, different things dealing with family. Usually what comes up, we try to do some things and talk about that. I think one of the last ones I recorded recently had to do with this man was an evangelical pastor. I don't know if you know his name, Carlton Pearson. He recently died, but he had come from an evangelical Pentecostal pastor to someone who moved more so along the lines of, I want to say Unitarian. They call it something else. The name slips my mind or something like that. And so he was beloved by a lot of communities. But, you know, a lot of communities also struggle depending on how they dealt with faith. And so I use that as a launching part to talk a little bit more about what do we do when a crisis in faith happens. Mm-hmm. When we grow and something happens in life, how do we deal with that? Because the truth is, at some point, we all face crisis. It just happens in life. We all face that time, whether it's the death of a loved one, sickness, job loss, illness, different things like that. So just talking about things in transition that may come up and stuff like that, you know?
It's good.
Yeah. And so, yeah, those things are important. So feel free, come and check it out. We're going to do that. Also on Instagram at Faith and Family Empowerment. You can look. I like to give like minute or 2 minute clips 3 times a week for motivation, encouragement, inspiration. You go this week, you'll probably see a lot of stuff for the marriage seminar we're having in Atlanta this weekend, Elevate Your Relationship Seminar. We're going to spend about 4 hours or so talking to couples about ways that they can build and strengthen their relationship, build what I like to call love cycle. We'll build the reactive cycle, which is the thing that gets everybody in conflict. I like the love cycle because it kind of reminds us of the things we can do good to keep in our relationships. Why I like that piece is because as we build and keep connection, I like to say it makes the conflict cycle a lot less intense.
Yeah.
But it's also the thing that can be neglected the most. I like to say when you start living life, parenting, which is a big one, work, different things like that, the two things that can get neglected the quickest are self-care and marriage care. Because, you know, I like to give you a perfect example. Football playing son, when he finally graduated, I remember me and my wife sitting on a Friday night and we were like, what do we do with a Friday night?
What are these things?
Yeah, Friday we nights. Didn't know because we spent so many. They had our lives planned, you know?
Yeah.
Children can plan your lives, but you have to make sure to build some time and some ways to do connection in between them. One of the, I think CNN might have had an article about this not too long ago, talking about the upward trend in gray divorce is what they called it. And so what they were saying something was the fact that, you know, all the kids get out the house, spouse looks at spouse, they're looking at each other. I don't know who you are.
Who are you?
You don't know who I am. And I don't know if I want to know who you are, who I am.
Right.
And so just ways to keep some of that connection so the transition isn't as big. It's going to be transition because it's a new stage of life. But yeah. still, so it isn't as big that you can build and reconnect. So those things are important. So
it's great. Everyone go check out all the information in the show notes for William. His website, his podcast, he's just brought so much value today. If you're an adoptive parent listening and you're looking for a resource and someone that would be in your corner that can give you great advice through his podcast, through some time with him one-on-one, I'm sure William would be loved to speak with you, speak life into you, and support you on your journey as parents seeking adoption and bringing a special life into your home. William, it's so great to have you on the podcast. And I'm looking forward to having you on my How to Podcast series where we can talk more about your show. But thank you for making time to do this and leading us in our discussion today. It's been great having you here.
And Dave, it's been my pleasure. And thank you, everybody who's listening. Glad to be a resource. Feel free to reach out. If we can't help you, maybe we can help you navigate someplace to somebody who can help you. So
awesome. All the information in the show notes, everyone. Again, William, thank you so much for being on Dad Space.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, I think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.